Welcome into the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat Podcast presented by Inquirer Sports. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out the insider news as well as listening on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Just search Inquirer Bengals Beat Podcast. And as always, you can listen on our free Cincinnati Inquirer Bengals app. If you don't have the app, well, I suggest rectifying that situation immediately in the App Store. Now, if you're down with BBP, let's go. All right, welcome to the latest edition of the BBP. It's the school's out for summer edition. That's what it is. But we had the last day of mandatory minicamp today, and players are out.
Yes.
In a hurry.
Yes.
Deuces.
There were some early flights, I think.
Yeah. It was the second practice was over. They hit the locker room, hit the showers, and hit the doors in a hurry because it's over. It is now OTA off-season program fully in the books.
Yeah.
It's 5 weeks off. We'll be back for mock turtle soup and training camp.
Yeah.
Coming up at the end of July. And that's it. That's where we're at. This is the one time of year in the NFL calendar where they actually take a breather and don't try to steal the headlines from everybody else.
Right.
So we're in that dead period now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the league office will find something.
They can always just start suspending guys and stuff to make some headlines.
You know, so I mean, it seems like the NFL never truly wants to go away, but you're right, Paul. I mean, it's you know, the players were looking forward to it. I think the coaches, front office, it's been a grind. I mean, even for a team that was done playing January 1st, right? I mean, it's been kind of nonstop since.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot surrounding them this offseason
right.
In a different way, and I just think there was a lot of new things. This wasn't the same type of year they had, and for that reason, it wasn't the same type of offseason they had. There was a lot more stress on the draft this year because of not just having a top pick, but having so many picks, and then having all of those picks in here over these last couple months. Last month plus has been, putting a lot of focus on them and this off-season program. So, yeah, they've been going pretty hard, but now they'll be able to kick back a little bit and kind of do their thing. I guess we want to get to a few things today on the podcast. This will be our last pod of the sort of season, so to speak. We'll take a quick respite next week. And then after that, we will get into what we do every year. This one is a little extra special, which is our podcast series. Mm-hmm. This year, we're pumped about it.
Yeah.
Super excited. It's going to be multi-pronged.
Yeah.
Multi-platformed.
But multi-platinum?
Multi-platinum, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe if we can put together a good record about it.
Yeah.
You and I will spit a verse, a little battle rap. And one hook,
yeah,
and we could probably make a great song about our series. Yeah. It's like get Akon, auto tune it, and you've got a hit.
There you go.
So we're gonna, with this being the Bengals' 50th season, we're taking kind of a really cool look at some of the most influential people moments of 50 years. And influential is an important word in
yes.
This is not good. This is good, bad, ugly, and wow, that's interesting stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of stories that I think that you haven't heard before, and I think that a lot of stuff you're going to learn about the history of this franchise that I think will open eyes and maybe help you understand what it is better.
Right.
And so we're going to have a lot of that coming in podcast form, in video form, writing in the paper, online.
Right.
It's going to be awesome. So keep an eye out for all that. But that's where the podcast is going to go then for the next 5 weeks after that.
Yeah, no, Paul, you're right. It is. It's been a lot of fun to work on. You know, a lot of voices you either haven't heard, maybe don't really, like, you want to hear them, but you might make you
it might make a few people uncomfortable.
Right. But no, you're right. It's been exciting. I think the podcast stuff is gonna be great too, and yeah. Our inside guy Mike Nair just on the wheels of Video Steel as well. So I think it's definitely, if you haven't subscribed to this yet, if you've just been kind of playing, you know, 1 week at a time on the BBP, I think you need to hit that subscribe button. Make sure you don't miss anything over the next month.
Yeah, and, you know, you can subscribe to the Inquirer, too, if you want.
Too,
of online, course. Of course, digital subscriptions are available. Feel free to do that. Anyway, so let's so definitely keep an eye out for that last week in June that will launch. It'll basically be a five-week series of different stuff, so keep an eye out for that. Let's get into where, kind of looking back now, we just said 3 days of mandatory mini camp. Three open practices, and you know, we have the totality of it when you include the once a week open OTAs. You know, let's start with health.
Yeah.
I would say on the field, definitely only on the field.
Right.
This has been a pretty drama free off season for the Bengals. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, I don't think we saw a ton of guys around the league going down with the non-contact injury, but there were some. I mean, heck, even up in Cleveland, number one pick right now is kind of a question mark. So, Paul, you didn't even really have any ankles turned or guys who, like, you know, dinged an elbow or just some of the things that become nagging. You know what I mean? Cody Kaur this last week did get stepped on, but and while he was in a lot of pain and looked bad, you know, he said it's just a bruise and he'll be good soon. You're right, Paul. I mean, you don't want number 18 falling to the turf. You don't want number 14 hitting his hand on a helmet. And I guess you don't want 32 or 28 to make a jump cut and then, like, not jump. So there's been some good things there where they look good. And Marvin Lewis feels good about it. Look, in 2015, one of the healthiest teams, if not the healthiest team in football? And last year went the other way. So,
Yeah. Well, they were healthy last year. The funny thing is they've been actually pretty healthy the last 2 years. The ones that have happened have just been pretty notable.
Yeah, right.
I mean, 14, 18, you start throwing those two numbers out there, and you're like, yeah, they were healthy by the percentages.
Right.
As far as, you know, total snaps missed, not much, but when some of those snaps are for your quarterback and A.J. Green, it matters. So I think they've had a pretty good run of health, and they're going to hope that continues. And they look to be in a good spot going into training camp. We told you a little bit last week, when we talked about how is the running back rotation going to work, that, you know, they could ease Giovanni Bernard in at the beginning of the season coming off an ACL. You know, last day of minicamp, Gio and Tyler Eifert running the length of the field onto the side.
Yeah.
You know, take that for whatever it's worth. We'll see where they're at. But when Marvin Lewis says those guys that are out right now, the four guys that are out, should be the – there at the beginning of camp, what that means exactly, I who knows. Those types of phrases have been couched before.
Yeah, it wasn't a weather report. You know, he didn't drop a partly cloudy on you.
Yeah, no,
or partly sunny.
No, none of those. No jet streams were involved. But you know, I do think that it's certainly realistic to say that Gio would be ready for week one. But the bottom line is everybody looks to be on a pretty good pace. We'll learn more, as we always do, the first day of camp or in that first week of camp.
Right.
And when they come back and do physicals.
Yeah, and I think, Paul, really, considering how Tyler Eifert hurt his back, which was in practice coming off the foot surgery, the fact that Marvin feels through this first workout period his rehab has gone well enough that it's not like, oh, he's not doing anything suddenly. Because during the OTA, he was out on the field as well. This is the first we'd seen him in the mini camp. And that probably wasn't, you don't want a where's Tyler Eifert question.
Yeah.
So he was there. but then even John Ross, who went away for a month, I mean, the labrum, you don't know. He's, you know what I mean? So the fact that he comes back and isn't, you know, in a sling.
Yeah.
And J.J. Dealman, that obviously was up front and has been with the club, you know, as he recovers from that foot injury that ended his year at Utah. So, you're right. I mean, the fact that they're on pace, there were no setbacks. I think for rehab, Paul, that's always the thing.
Yeah.
You don't want something where it's like, oh, tweak, 3 weeks.
every single time we ever reference injury timelines, it always ends with every sentence ends the same way. Barring a setback.
Right.
Because you have to put that in there. Because right. No one wants the setback. And so right now, barring a setback, they look to be in pretty good shape with all of the guys. And there's really only a small handful, which is an even better part of where they're at health-wise. Of course, we'll see. They're about to have 5 weeks on their own. So we shall see how that plays out. You never know if someone comes back and says, well, right. I was wakeboarding off the coast of Africa. And,
right.
You know, you never know what quite will happen. But for now, they look to be in decent shape that way as far as health goes.
Right.
And that's really all that matters. All this offseason is about is you don't want to hear the bad news about an injury or something like that. So the Bengals come away pretty good in that respect.
What about you?
You know, okay, so I,
yeah,
just, I don't know if you know, I'm coming. I am not going to start the season on PUPs.
Wow.
A few questions were asked of me. A few questions were asked of me on Twitter about where I'm at in relation to, am I going to start the season on the injured list? I am. I'm not afraid to go hard time. I don't need partly cloudies and partly sunnies. I'm telling you, I will be here and I will be active and a full participant the first day of training camp. I was out here basically kind of working on the side this week, but you know, participating but working on the side, and I will be I will be full go. Day one of camp, I will be starting. I will be a starter week one.
Wow.
I'm telling you, I'm starting week one. Don't even try to bench me.
You
heard me, Anki bosses. Don't bench me. I'm a starter week one. And if you have any questions on my recovery process, you can send them to @TylerEif85 on Twitter. I was just so happy to be able to finally turn the tables on that one on Twitter the other day. Someone
would be so confused.
Oh, absolutely.
We haven't seen him since the OTA. So
I didn't have any chance to go up to him and gauge
That'd
his response.
Great.
Yes. If I should. I want to start giving him my health updates every time I talk to him, and then so he can answer them on Twitter.
It'd be like an Abbott. You know what? That would be an Abbott and Costello routine. That would drive Butchie crazy.
Oh, yes, it would.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Can you send @JeffHobson, Paul Daner Jr.? Just again, just to confuse this.
Just to, yeah.
We love Butchie. It's summer break for us, too, now, people. So, we're going to have some fun.
We are going to have some fun. We've got to. I think that's it. I think we attach Hobson to every time I do this with Eifert, discussing both of our rehabs, and just to make him wonder what the hell is going on. This is great. This is what's going to happen. Things are good. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
And so it's good to be back out here this week and feeling really good these days.
Awesome.
Speaking of feeling good, Darren Simmons is feeling pretty good. Segway.
Yeah, look at that.
Darren Simmons is feeling pretty good. Bengals special teams coordinator has a kicking competition on his hands, one of the most serious ones, really, in his tenure here. So they've been out there kicking a bunch, and I kind of asked him about just basically how that's gone over the course of these few weeks and months, and I think you'd be interested to hear some of what Darren had to say about what's been going on with the kicking competition. So here's Darren competition on Randy Bullock versus Jake Elliott versus Jonathan Brown.
What was your impression over the course of the OTAs on that battle?
Well, I thought they were all really consistent. They're all up in two of them are in the almost 90%.
Yeah.
During phase two and phase three, we charted everything. And the other guy was in the mid-80s. So, I mean, they were with all of them 5 percentage points of each other, all three guys. So he's actually was very pleased where we're all at. You know, and I think the most important thing is to see how they come back. And then training camp and really starts to come and start to play games.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very pleased with where they're at.
I mean, you try to create as much of a kind of a pressure, realistic situation there. Like at the end today, where there was a little bit all focus on them, that was part of the deal today.
Yeah. Yeah, and it has been. We've never kicked this many field goals ever.
Ever?
In OTAs in my time here. We usually sprinkle it in a couple times, but not like we've done this time. We've all, each one of those guys has charted right at 30 charted field goals in team.
Really?
Yeah, so it's we've had almost 90 charted field goals this offseason, so it's a lot.
That's why you had to rotate them like you're doing, because they can't handle that kind of...
Yeah, not all, you know, it's take too long and just too much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we rotate them around. Each guy's got equal amount of reps, and it's comparing apples to apples, so it's amazing how close they actually all, both all three are.
Which is good. I mean, it would be bad if they were close and they were all 60, but, I mean, if they're all up around 90, I mean, you're confident
it's
going
good,
in.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough decision, but it's going to be, I feel good about it.
A lot of those, I mean... This will be a part of the puzzle, but how they kick in games is probably going to be. That's going to be the giant chunk, because that's where it went really on them.
If they can't do it, if they can't prove they can't do it out here in front of in front of me, and then the next step's in front of the team.
Yeah.
And then the final step will be in front of another team.
Yeah.
That's another team in front of the crowd. But if they can't do it in front of me, or if they can't do it in front of the team, I know they can't do it in front of a stadium of people. So they've exhibited they can do it here, and now we'll be on to the next step.
Yeah.
But it's a good start.
So, I think interesting, when you have three, granted, this is practice. When you have three guys hitting almost 90%, you're in a good place. Now, this is going to be one small piece of the pie.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be decided by what happens in those preseason games and those opportunities that they have there.
Yeah.
But I think all three, and particularly Jake Elliott, he's really – and Jonathan Brown's a new piece, but I don't know how much of a realistic chance anyone's really giving to Jonathan Brown.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a guy that they hoped that they could really look really smart about maybe a couple years on the road.
Yeah, I think that's more what it is. Although I am waiting for the at Indy 69-yarder from Jonathan Brown that just sends Bengals Twitter into a tizzy.
Trot him out. Trot him out there.
I mean, let's be real. Randy Bullock, he'll get his shot or two, but they kind of know what he is. I mean, the preseason, you're right, Paul. Can Jake Elliott handle, kicking under duress in the big stadium? That stuff matters. I mean, look, we watched a couple years ago when they brought in the college kid. I'm already forgetting his name. I feel bad for Nuge, and he just was bad in that Indy game. Just
Zach Hocker.
No, he never – well, no, Hocker, he was okay.
He got
it was
hurt.
The other one. The other kid. Yeah,
sorry,
exactly.
Sorry, other kid.
But that was the thing, though. I mean, he kicked in the preseason game, and he missed a 20-something yard. I mean, that's – and he was a D3 kid, you know what I mean, but had looked good in camp because there was really no pressure. So, you're right. I think it's the preseason game.
The last day today, they lined up the kickers out there. I mean, that's a lot of kids. Talk about 30 charted team kicks – a piece, 90 over the course of, these few weeks. That's a lot of kicks, and it gives you, I think, a really good baseline for where they feel like they're at. And, the end of practice day, everyone gathered around. Each kicker had to make from each spot, each of their four spots, and Randy Bullock and Jake Elliott both missed one, in fairness. Elliott's was a shorter, but both, only missed one. Both nailed from 55 at the end and with into the net.
Yeah.
I mean, to handicap, I think they look good, and you're Darren Sims is very happy with where they're at. And no one has come out and it's looked like they're just lost and shanking left and right. And
yeah, you don't need a Guile situation.
Exactly my point. And this is what I was going to say. Handicapping the kicker race going into camp, Jonathan Brown is not probably – it's not going to happen. He's just like another guy that's here just because. Randy Bullock is here in case Jake Elliott is Roberto Aguayo.
Right.
If you follow that. If Jake Elliott shows up and he just it looks like a rookie, he's frazzled like a rookie, he misses a bunch of kicks in preseason, doesn't look like for some reason the guy that they believe they drafted – took as the first kicker taken in fifth round.
Right.
They have a fallback.
Right.
Everyone in this building, I can say with fair confidence, wants it to be Jake Elliott.
Yeah.
You drafted the guy for him to be good in the long run because we know what Randy Bullock is. He's a back of the league, back top, bottom 5-10 kicker. That's why he was unemployed most of last year. To have a top kicker. If you want to be the next Justin Tucker or whatever, and I don't know one's saying that that's what Jake Elliott's going to be, but to have a top kicker, you need it to be Elliott.
Yeah.
And so that's what they hope it is. That's what they hope he is, and Randy Bullock's here in case he's not.
Yeah. And I'm I'm not going. I'm just telling you right now, Bengals Twitter. I don't know about you, Paul, but I'm not standing here going 9 for 9 on August 1st.
I will. 8 for 7. I will report.
7 for 8.
I 8 for 7.
Like the Brandon good. Wilson touchdowns. Yeah. Scored 8 touchdowns 7 different ways.
7 touchdowns.
I mean, it's important. I'm giving people. I'm giving you. Giving the people a hard time. It is important because you're
it's
right.
Important. It's important. And we'll track right. it. And you know, at the end of the day, we'll let you know who
right.
made what and who missed what. But there's not going to be
I'm not
wide right from 42 tweeted out, wide left down the middle from 47. Yeah. It's just I'm not going to do that to your Twitter feeds.
Right.
I have more respect for your Twitter feeds than that. But we'll keep you informed. But anyway, I think that's a pretty good handicap of where it is, and the fact that all three have been good further solidifies that I think it's where they expected it to be entering training camp.
Yeah.
So we'll see kind of how it all shakes out. Anything strike you, any observations over mini camp this week, and any thing that stuck out to you from play? I mean, it's still shorts out there. It's still a whole lot of this right. is barely football. So you take everything with a grain of salt. So we say that. But anything strike you?
Not so much of what anyone did, Paul, but it was really kind of what something that Vinnie Ray had to say during the mini camp. And look, and we kind of – what was it last year? Pound the rock. There's always
Pound
some
the rock.
There's always some kind of slogan, whatever it is. But here's the thing.
Do your job.
So there's there's another one. I don't even remember what it is. That's not important. We're going to hear from Vinnie Ray and what it means. And what it meant was it's essentially an effort thing. Now, Vinnie said, and you'll hear this, he's speaking for the defense. But basically, Vinnie's like, hey, we weren't really that good last year on defense. And he kind of just put it out there as a really interesting reason why. So here's Vinnie Ray.
Instances, and that was part of the reason that we didn't have a season we wanted to. You know, as a defense, we didn't. You know, we focused on ourselves as a defense. We didn't. The main thing we didn't do, I'll say, we didn't play with enough effort all the time. That's a big part of running on your own gas. Nobody should be telling you, hey, run to the ball. You know, hey. Play hard, hey, know your playbook, because we all grown, we all pros. Mm-hmm. So that's I love that quote, you know, run on your own gas, do your job, worry about yourself, because it sounds individualistic, but it really isn't. It's really for the best of the team.
Last follow-up here. Is that because the team's losing? Is it hard to give up that effort when you have a losing season, or there's storyline that the team is not going to get to the playoffs? Is that what leads to that moment where you don't give enough?
Nah, I think it's just because it's not working out. Like during the game, you may give up a play, somebody else may give up a play, and then you're saying, you're thinking, and then all of a sudden you're not playing hard. You know? And in this league, you know, you give up a play here, a play there, that's the game. Half of the games are decided by touchdown or less. So, you know, even though we might be like biting nails, but it really is little things that could really give you 2 or 3 more wins.
So, you know, here's a team leader saying, hey, we didn't we didn't really try hard all that,
yeah,
all that
much. We weren't always trying hard.
Yeah, so that was kind of interesting. We'll probably have to delve into that a little bit more, because, of course, that kind of popped out right at the end of this thing. And, it's funny, Paul, I listened to that, and I kind of have a little bit of Groundhog Day from the start of last year when we were like, new offensive coordinator, new right tackle, no receivers, rookie. I remember you and I, and we can find this on Nets BBP, you and I were like, hey, Bengals defense is going to have to carry this team early,
mm-hmm.
get through, and – you know, until Andy and the offense figures it out. And it kind of went the other way. It was like the defense was bad until after the Monday night game.
First half of the
season,
they were bad, yeah.
And whereas Andy was playing out of his mind the first few weeks before that finally, you know, that all that kind of caught up to them. So, you know, it's interesting. you know, how that translates to the field and finishing things out. I mean, we did see running backs, for what it's worth, you know, finish out the drill to the end zone. We saw DBs and linebackers kind of finish things out. You know, unfortunately, Cody Corn, I'm getting hurt because Tony McCray finished out the block and stepped on the kid. You know, but I mean, you saw some of that. So I don't know. But that's interesting. It's an interesting thing for him to say and sort of admit to, and you know.
Yeah, I agree that it does perk your ears up. Like, what do you mean you weren't always trying hard? That's a shocking thing to hear. I talked to Paul Gunther a little bit about the new coaches that they had last year. The fact, and he was talking about how he's never been on a staff where the entire staff was an overhaul like it was last year, where it was all new, and that he feels in a much better spot today than he did at this point in time last year. Where I'm going with this is, I think the coaches, the defensive coaches, really took a while to learn what buttons to press.
That could be
with
too,
new players. Yeah. I mean, they came from where they had pretty much the same position coaches their entire careers here. Almost everybody on the defense could say that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much what it had been. And all of a sudden, when Hayes and Burke and Vance Joseph and all these other guys, now you're seeing changeover, and now it's Kevin Coyle, and it's Jim Haslett, and it's Jacob Burney. This is a new guy trying to motivate you and get you going and teach you things. And I think there was – and we heard it last year, and they never wanted it to sound like an excuse, but it was a real obstacle for them, was the adjustment of Gunther, coordinator, getting used to coaches, and coaches getting used to players, and back up the line players to the coach, and finding that rhythm. It was, I think it was a big part of what happened, I think a big part of why Paul Gunther feels confident that they can pick up at the beginning of this year where they ended last year and not revert back to the trend of last season with the slow start. So maybe that's part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that is part of it. Too, is the coach is figuring out how to coach the players.
Yeah. Yeah, and that there is something to that. You know, especially guys who had, you know, on a very veteran defense, you know, or guys who weren't drafted or weren't part of the, you know, these new guys come in and, well, I never – you know, these guys were all on other staffs. You know, I wouldn't have drafted that. You never know how that comes in or how they mesh with the guys. So, yeah, you're right, Paul. You know, and you know, Vinny said what he said. It's on the record and everything. I you know, and it was sort of in the context of spinning it forward and being a positive thing, as Vinny usually is. But, yeah, it that was interesting to me. And I guess, like, you know, when you – going back to how you started this, where you said, did you see anything? And, you know – again, it's hard. I'll go back to the speed that we talked about a little bit all over the place. But again, defensively, you know, I don't know. You'd think the pride would be a little wounded for some of these guys.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, maybe there's a little something there.
You know, I saw Carl Lawson a lot, and I think he was talked about a lot.
Yeah.
Now, it was sort of a high-profile spot because he was going against Cedric Obwehi, who everyone's watching. And this type of environment is built for Carl Lawson. He's a speed. He's a smaller speed rusher off the edge. And, you know, he was really consistently getting around the edge on Cedric Obwehi. And now part of that could be he's not really able to use full contact. And, you know, so it's hard to judge these types of things. This is one where Carl Lawson should win a lot.
Yeah.
But he did, and he looked good doing it, and he really looked like, I think he opened a lot of eyes with what he was doing out there. And the reason it sticks out is he's just different than what the Bengals have had. He's the opposite. He's what they've needed and not had. He's not the big, thick, lumbering defensive end. He's very much a small hybrid. He's probably better built for a 3-4 type of defensive rush end who can just get to the quarterback. And he's rocked up.
Yeah.
He looks like he's wearing shoulder pads.
He's huge.
He's huge. And he's got speed. And you take notice of that whole package. And I think it's why the Bengals were pretty thrilled to get him. He's of all the rookies, he's the one that probably has caught my eyes the most.
I'll say this, Paul. I think the the first padded practice, I tell you right now, Cedric Obwehi's looking for 58.
Yeah.
Just to honestly, get his hands on him. I think it's one of those things where it just, you know, Carl Lawson's a rookie, trying to show, maybe going a little harder than he's supposed to. You know, Paul Alexander says, "Hey, it's not competitive. It's non-contact. Mm-hmm. You know, collectively bargained."
Yeah.
You know, but it, you know, these are grown men trying to show something. I think said, I talked to Sed a little bit. It sounds like he's waiting for the opportunity to be able to put his hands on that. And hey, Carl Loss, I'm sure, will welcome it. And I think that's what the Bengals want to see, too.
Yeah.
Can you do this when the 305-pounder with the long arms gets them out on you?
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, you're right, Paul. He was...
He looks good.
Speed is advertised.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. And I think that's a big part of it. I think he can be successful, and we'll see if the Bengals know how to use him right. They haven't shown that they've had problems with that in the past, not finding ways to make that guy work for them. I think Paul Gunther is much more open to finding a way to make – he sees the way the league has changed and finding a way to make that work for him. You can go back to my prototype story I wrote from way back at the Combine, I think,
right.
On the Bengals kind of changing their view on pass rushers. That I don't think of anything else I really, really noticed. I don't know if anything else that really super popped. Let me ask you this, and we haven't talked about this, so we're just going to freewheel here. What did you think of what you've seen from William Jackson III?
I mean, he looks smoother than last year at this point. I mean, it was just so kind of. I mean, he was just all like the tall kid out there. I mean, and you could see him run, and I think he was picked on quite a bit last year, even. I remember Jay Kumerow just eating him alive last year. It was like, oh, you know.
Well, it's Kumerow.
What? Yeah, touchdown, Jesus.
I mean, come on. At a certain point.
I mean, let's be
I mean,
real.
No, who can contain
right. You know, I'm not really seeing that.
Kumerow toasted him down the sidelines on
he did catch
Tuesday.
Him. Okay, he did see that Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard because you're, you know, they break into groups.
Paul,
I have a hard time with the corner stuff because it's just they can't press, and which is funny because that's all the Bengals talk about. Oh, we can't press. But remember last year they didn't press at all,
right?
It was like
yeah,
which so I don't, maybe they're trying to say like we will again this year. You know, he feels better about it. Adam Jones, who usually is always pretty good too to talk to about like technical things about the corner position, he said. William Jackson III's back pedal is way better. And William said, he's like, I actually needed to work on that. He's like, coming out of Houston, he's like, I didn't have to back pedal very much.
Yeah.
So, sounds kind of boring, but, you know, it's a big part of that job.
It is.
On the outside.
Is. Yeah, I don't know. It's you're right. I just, you know, you've seen a few moments where he looked like, you know,
almost had a pick today Thursday.
He got beat in the back of the end zone today too. But yeah, he's broken some up.
Yeah.
He's been picked on. He's been in the action a little bit.
Right.
So I just didn't know your take on it. And like you said, it's hard to tell. You'll know more in camp when it's more real, and when he starts playing in preseason games, obviously.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how he plays the ball, Paul. Maybe this is a hint of it because he did have a ton of interceptions. At Houston, right?
Yeah, I mean, his strength was how he played the ball.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see how that translates when you can get a little more physical. We just never saw from him last year. He was hurt, what, the first day of contact?
Yeah, I mean, we barely saw him.
So I'm curious to see how that all goes and how his game maybe changes a little bit, you know, now that you know you can't really touch any of these guys. Or
yeah.
You're not supposed to body him up if the ball goes up.
Yep. So, like we said at the beginning of the pod, next 5 weeks, the players are off. They are gone.
Yeah.
It's over. They'll be out doing whatever, vacations. God knows. We talked to a bunch of players just trying to figure out what they're going to do. And just there's so many players, so many interests. Man, you just find all kinds of stuff.
Right.
When you just start asking guys what they're going to do. So, Pac-Man, Adam, is trying to go on the Snoop Show.
Yeah.
Right?
Martha Stewart and Snoop's potluck dinner party on VH1.
Yes.
It's going to be amazing.
Because Adam says his wife, Tish, can cook with anybody.
Yeah.
So he wants to, I guess that's how it started.
Yeah. So I wonder if Adam's the helper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, he says his wife can cook.
He's a sous chef?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't feel like Adam's a participant in that. I feel like Adam just sits there and eats. whatever she cranks out.
Yeah. So So he said when Snoop was in and performed right, I think it was draft night at River Bend.
It was.
You know, he and Snoop are friends, and Snoop and Adam was bragging about his wife, and Snoop's like, "Let's go, Martha Stewart, VH1.
Let's come out to the VH1 show."
So he said it's going to happen in July here. So. You know, we'll have to keep an eye out for that.
Keep an eye out for that. Also, so I talked to Drake or Patrick about he's got a record label.
Yeah.
New money. Let's go.
People, if you follow him on Instagram, you're hearing little snippets and seconds of verses and beats.
J-Ova is his guy that he's known since Alabama. And he kind of said, you know, it was time to, he calls it, it's time to push play on this. Yeah, it's time, because you just got a $52 million contract. I bet it's time to push play. So they've been recording, and so he's trying to put the finishing touches on that. And so his first for Super Team Music is first off that label. He only got the one artist, but he's hoping. Boy, this sounds like they're gonna use our voices in like the like 30 for 30 broke that they do in like 10 years. I don't mean to do that to Dre, but like, how many times do they talk about like, oh, record label and this and your boy from the? It's a tough business.
Yeah,
it's a super tough business. So good luck to Dre in that. But so you can check out J-Ova.
Yeah,
coming out with Dre's thing, or just follow him on Instagram. I'm sure they'll have it all in there.
Yeah.
What else? You talked to Nick Vigil about horses.
Yeah, Nick Vigil's offseason purchase with his rookie contract was a couple two trio. Southside almost came out of me right there, man. I'm on summer break. Couple two trio going back to Southside, Chicago. Use guys over there, you know.
Use guys.
So, but he did. He bought a couple too, and now he's got tree.
Horses.
He had a horse. He likes trees though too.
Yeah.
Out in the, you know. so yeah, he had a horse. He bought two more, and he's like fishing.
Living out in Utah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And but he doesn't have the second contract money, so he says his dad keeps the horses because he doesn't have a place for him yet.
Yeah, gotta get that. He's gotta get a few PBUs before he gets that horse money.
So yeah, Nick Vigil will be out fishing and riding horses in the mountains.
Yeah.
Sounds very peaceful.
Yes.
And of course, you know, all these guys were, you know, wanting to train. It basically, you could tell it was like, you know, Adam Jones and Dre have some other things going on. Guys like Andrew Billings, Deshaun Williams are like, man, I'm taking like 2 days off.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm doing
working,
you know,
out.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's kind of the difference there where the vets who've been paid and kind of know, and you know, you need to give yourself the little 6-7 day window sometimes.
Yeah. And you never stop kind of figuring out what training works for you.
I
talked with AJ Green a little bit, and he was talking about how, because back there, I remember talking to him about he used to love to go, and he obviously goes back to Georgia where he lives in the off season, and he used to love to go, and he would train with like Calvin Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald and all these dudes. They'd be at Georgia Tech or whatever, and it'd be all these professional football players are there, and he'd be amongst them. But now, he said, now he doesn't – he trains only by himself. He brings his own guy. It was Cliff Marshall, who's now Indiana's guy.
Yeah.
And he's got another person that he's bringing down this offseason just to train with him personally. He's going to be over at Kennesaw State by himself. He said, because I need someone that caters to me. I mean, he's 29.
Yeah.
And he's got specifically – he doesn't want to be waiting on other dudes to show up, younger guys rolling in late because they're – God knows what. He's got his thing, his time frame. He wants guys that can work exactly for him the way he wants to. He doesn't need to be around those guys anymore. So he's kind of – in that way, he's changed the last 2 years how he does this time of year. So he was just kind of talking about that. And then he's, of course, you know, taking the fam to Disney World and then hitting the beach in Florida and all that type of stuff. Yeah. But as far as his training goes, he's got a very specific routine, bringing his own guy down. But, you know, he also makes $15 million a year, so you know, you can bring your own guy.
Right.
Cool story Sunday coming out on for a Father's Day story on AJ Green, his first Father's Day. So keep an eye out for that. That'll be up online on Friday, and then look for it in Sunday's paper. I'm excited about that. I was able to – he was real open about it, and just cool stuff him talking about his son Easton, who was born right before the Miami game.
Yeah.
It was week three last year. Yeah. Easton Ace. And kind of about how that's affected him
And an interesting thing about what it's done for the relationship between Andy Dalton and A.J. Green,
yeah.
I think just something that kind of just I thought was a really, really interesting couple of comments on that. So keep an eye out for that. That'll be coming. I'll have much more on A.J. For our Father's Day story on Sunday. So that's kind of what's going on in the next 5 weeks.
Yeah.
We of course, will be feeding you all this 50th season,
yeah.
The influential series extraordinaire.
Keyword influential. I'm going to say that again.
Good, bad, ugly.
Yeah.
Some of it real ugly.
Yeah.
Those that were here in the 90s know how ugly it was. So we're going to have all kinds of stuff. Keep that coming for you. Again, one quick break. Next week, no podcast, but then the series will start after that, the last week in June. So keep an eye out for that. All right. Now we can get down to what's important. Why are you mad?
I have several standbys with this, and one of them is traffic. And we actually were talking about this earlier.
You always go back to traffic.
Yeah, dude.
Like, it must be – I've driven with you before, and I've never felt like you were this mad. But
dude,
it must,
ask my
internally,
wife.
It must internally just grind you to death.
It
driving.
Does. There's rage. It's the thing, Paul, that's really been and I don't know if it's just because I've been driving around like the downtown area the last few days and whatnot, but it is the you're cruising, you either have a green light or you're in a, you know, whatever, so you're just going 35 to 45 miles an hour, whatever the posted speed limit is, right?
Of course, obey the law.
And then you see the car out of your, you know, there he is, she is. You know, poking out a little bit, and you're like, oh, there they are. I'm going to watch them. And what do? They hit the gas. Quick right turn. And guess what? The foot comes off the pedal then. All of a sudden, it is 2 miles an hour. And there are a few things, like pedestrians. Remember we talked about this? Cyclists.
Yeah, you really want to hit them.
I do want to hit them. People who don't know how to yield. This is an instance where, like, I think you should be allowed to have, like, the big bumper. Like, if that happens, if you want to just peel out of the right turn in front of me, and then you take your foot off the gas, I should be able to hit you with my car.
Yes, because they jumped in front of you.
Yes.
It wasn't you not leaving enough space. You were
right.
Just going along, and they jumped in front of you.
There's no right of way.
They cut you off, basically.
Yes.
I agree.
I should be able to, you know, have, like, a Mr. Plow.
Yeah.
Like, on a 95-degree day in Cincinnati.
Yes.
And just move those people out of the way. And I know if you're listening to this, I'm sure one of you have done it. Don't do it again.
Probably to you.
Yeah, they probably did.
If you see a Yaris with a plow on the front, beware.
Hey,
man. Get serious.
Got a Yaris with one hubcap. You better just stay out of the way.
That means
there's
a
reason.
Business.
Look, there's a reason there's only one hubcap left, Paul.
That's it. You've been in the wars. It means you've been in the wars is what it means.
Why are you happy?
You know why I'm happy? I'm happy because Warriors in five.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, last week, we had a technical difficulty, so my whole, like, spiel, ripping you for ripping Clay, like, was barely heard.
Yeah.
But it should be known that you talked so much trash about Clay Thompson, and he was great the rest of the series.
Well, yeah.
He hit a whole lot of shots.
Yeah.
And the Warriors are great. The only thing that made me mad was that it wasn't Warriors in four. That was it.
Right, yeah.
I was loving it. I wish it would have been the 16-0 greatness, but I love watching Kevin Durant. All the haters who've just been talking trash, he came out. Now, granted, who cares? You want to talk about how he went to a super team? I don't care.
Right.
He played his butt off
in
the finals and earned it. He had all the pressure. All eyes were on him. Kevin Durant had to go prove his move.
Yeah.
And he did in a huge way.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable. Between efficiency and just hitting shots in people's eyes, big shots when games were close, shots to put games away, shots to keep games close. He did it all, and it was just fun to watch. I love watching the Warriors. It was watching greatness.
Yeah.
We watched greatness. I don't care about super teams. I don't care about all the other BS people don't like about the rest of the league. I don't care. I loved watching greatness, and they were great. And Kevin Durant was great, and I couldn't be happier for him because he's really, in my opinion, one of the good guys in the league. And deserves finally kind of getting his moment, and watching him and his mom, yeah, the real MVP, and all that. It was just cool, and I was happy. I was happy for him. I was really, really happy and enjoyed this series.
Yeah, it was interesting because this is really LeBron. This is the first time he's gotten a taste of the monster he created with this. So, you know, they go down to Miami. You know, Dallas gets them. They win their titles. But, like, Dallas and San Antonio and even the Warriors team from 2 years ago were not this. Those teams were, I mean, Dallas had Jason Kidd, but were relatively home. I mean, it was old Jason Kidd, like Jason Terry back then, like relatively homegrown.
Mm-hmm.
But like Miami Heat and this Cavs team, even with Kevin Love, the trade and the Tristan, like this is the first time the thing LeBron's created in the last decade came back to get him.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens, you know, with that going yeah, forward. Yeah.
I'm fully sure that he's going to add some piece to turn Cleveland, yeah, into more of a super team. But that's the other thing: Warriors aren't going anywhere.
No.
Four dudes in their 20s that aren't leaving.
Right.
I mean, that thing is going to just keep right on churning. So the league, you know, someone's going to have to challenge them. I don't, you know, it'll get them in trouble league wide, but you know. I've enjoyed the show. It's been fun to watch. All right, so you ready to get out of here?
Yeah.
I think I got one. I sort of opened the podcast with it. When I said it at the beginning of the podcast, I was like, oh, this is probably what I have to go with. I mean,
yeah,
school's out for summer.
It's
really perfect. Yeah. It's the perfect one. It's finally everybody running out. So,
like literally.
Literally running out of here. Get me the hell out of Cincinnati. See you at Mock Turtle Soup. So we will. So that'll be the next event. The next event that we'll have access to,
yeah,
will be the Mock Turtle Soup preseason luncheon, and we will be off and running with the season, yeah, at that point. But so look forward to that. But again, keep an eye out over we are going to keep feeding the beast over the next month and a half with our whole series on the 50th season and looking back at some of the most influential people, moments, events. Some that are real, maybe some that aren't real.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out for that. First installment, June 26th, we'll start launching all that. So hope for you guys, too. Hope you'll enjoy it. We think you will. Anyway, let's get out of here. School is out for summer, so we are taking off, and we'll talk to you very soon.